Well, I can definitely say it's good to be back home here, and it was great to have a little time off. And thanks so much, Brother Bill and others who just stepped in and just preached and handled services last week for us. And so this week it's into Father's Day, and I definitely want to recognize fathers this morning here. And we're taking a break from the book of James here for a little bit. And today I just want to not only recognize a sense of gratitude and thankfulness for fathers, but even father figures in our lives. I think many of us can attest to men in our lives as we were growing and maturing that had a tremendous impact upon our lives and the direction that our lives went. I can never forget growing up in high school, my track coach not only spent time with myself and some other men, not just training them for different events, but training us as young men to mature and to be moral and upright in our behaviors and disciplines. And I will never forget some of the investment and time that my coach took with me to nurture me in the right way. It was impacting. Now, I will never forget the one day. I remember I was certainly not walking with the Lord and doing the things that I should have been involved in. And my track coach found out about it, of all people, you know. And he sat down with little Ethan here, and he said, "Ethan, I want you to go to church this Sunday, and I want you to take notes from the pastor's message, and I want you to bring them back to me, and we're going to sit down and we're going to go over these notes that you write down." What an impact that a coach would take that kind of time with you, not just a concern for what athletic event you're in, but concern for your overall life. And thank God for not just godly fathers, but certainly godly father figures in our lives that are willing to take that time and include us in their lives. And instead of, quite frankly, what we see more of today's day and age is that discarding, that sense of we don't have time to really do this because we've got so many things going on in our own lives that we don't have time to minister and nurture in the lives of some others there. And so we definitely certainly see a problematic issue with all of that. But talking about dads this morning, I'm sure many of you can sympathize with me this morning in this situation, but I remember as a kid just the tremendous admiration and appreciation that I had for my father, and most especially in those times when he would involve us as boys in just the trivial, menial affairs that he had going on in his day-to-day. How many of you can attest to the times when you got to ride in the truck or ride in the vehicle with Dad as he went down the road to the grocery store just to get milk and eggs or just to get gas for the lawnmower? It didn't matter what Dad was doing. You just wanted to be with him. You just wanted to go along. I don't know about you, but I can remember those times most vividly. And Dad was going to the store just because he had to get something. I wanted to ride along, right? How many of you there, can I get a witness on that? You wanted to be with Dad. You wanted to be involved. Whatever Dad was doing, hey, I want to be with him and involve myself. And what a blessing it was. What a sense of fulfillment it gave you when you were doing the things that Dad was doing. When he gave you a tool to work on this, you just felt this sense of fulfillment and joy come over you because you were helping Dad out. I can remember so vividly those days. It could have been as simple as driving down the road, like I said, for milk or eggs, or getting gas for the lawnmower. You know what? It didn't matter what Dad was doing. We as kids just wanted to be along for the ride. And it was a wonderful thing that Dad included us in those things. Today's message is called A Father's Inclusion. And as we look at 2 Timothy here, we see the hallmark character of Paul as it relates to Timothy here. And there are some very unique phrases or terms that Paul uses in his expression to Timothy that point out some very powerful principles for you and I today. It's this thought of inclusion. You know, as a matter of fact, as I look at this day and age that we are living in, the sense of inclusion in our lives and being willing to take the time to include other people, let alone our own children in our lives and the various tasks and various things, is somewhat of an abstract in our society, if you will. It's something that is honestly in some ways going by the wayside. And quite frankly, when we look at these various things, even though they may seem on the surface seemingly insignificant in some ways, folks, when it boils down to it, this is discipleship 101. This is investment and influence and impact in others' lives. Most especially in the lives of children, the next generation that is coming up through. And the question that remains is, what is training this next generation? Is it moms and dads? Is it the ones that have the most potential impact in their lives? Or are they being just discarded into the system and hoping that things turn out right? I remember a day in my own life when I had decided to take my son fishing. Simon's sitting here this morning and he is not aware of any of these things, so he's included in this message quite a bit today. But I remember taking him fishing one morning and hoping to allow him to learn and to see and watch me as I reeled in those monster fish that I so blatantly exaggerate. If any of you are fishermen, you know the story starts out like this, and by the time you're done telling it, it's like this. It was the whale that ate Jonah most oftentimes there with that. But in the midst of this fishing endeavor as a father and a son, something happened that I realized. It was very interesting to me. I realized that through the course of time that we were out fishing and had already geared up and were at the stream and casting our lines, that I had become more concerned with catching fish than creating a moment and memory with my son. I don't know about you, but a good thought to realize for each one of us today is sometimes we often get caught up more in the momentum of things that we miss out on the moments in our lives. So true, isn't it? For you and I, we get caught up. Most of you are sitting here this morning, you're thinking about what you're going to eat after church today. That you can't even maybe concentrate fully on what I'm saying right now because the stomach is growling and you're thinking about Culver's down the road or Country Kitchen or whatever it may be, but your concentration is not fully here right now. And oftentimes that's the way it is for you and I, is that we can't even appreciate the sense of the moment that we are in because we're worried about the next moment to come. And we miss out sometimes on the investment and impact that we have to make. Through all my agitation of perpetually untangling fishing line and not catching any fish, dads, can I get a witness on that? I saw that I had only discouraged the moment that I had with my son. I understood I had not really included him in this thing that I love to do, but I had brought him along as some sort of fifth wheel in the equation of my planning. Have you ever done that, dads? Yeah, you can come along. Just don't create this circumstance that messes things up for me. Just don't carry any baggage or drama or issues into the situation. You just stay there and be there and I'll just do my thing, type of thing. I set down our fishing rods that morning, ignoring the tangled mess. And we sat together on the bank of the stream and we talked as we enjoyed the beauty of the day in each other's company. I realized that day and so many days thereafter the extreme value of making sure that my children feel that they are included as making up a part of my life and not merely an addition to my life. What a powerful thought, folks, for us today. I think for many of us, we tend to look at even whether it's our children or whether it's co-workers or whether it's friends or acquaintances or even ministry servants and leaders and different things, we look at them as part of the addition to what tasks we can get done rather than these make up our lives. That there is a sense of fellowship and intimacy here that goes much deeper than the menial tasks and responsibilities that are being done. As Paul writes to Timothy here in what's assumed to be his final letter before his death, he writes in such benevolent fashion to him that it can be without question that the way that Paul viewed Timothy and the way that he demonstrated himself to him carried one of the highest weights of influence upon Timothy's life. From the point in which Timothy joined with Paul, Paul graciously took him under his wing and included him as a part of his life and ministry instead of additional responsibility. Do you see that right there? This is simply marveling to stop and think about the sense of investment that Paul made to Timothy and so many others. Because if you're like me, you've already got enough going on in your life. The last thing you want to do is add more baggage and more issues and more weight to your already overwhelming responsibility, right? That you don't have time for all these different things. I don't have time to invest in this person's life. I don't have time to even sit down and maybe take a genuine conversation with them because I've got too much going on. That's what we tend to tell even our God. Lord, I can't do these things that you want me to do because I've got so much that I'm doing right now. And we tend to prioritize things maybe over top of our God, maybe over top of what's most important. Can I tell you something? The sad story in all of this for most is that they end up looking back upon their lives because of all those quote-unquote responsibilities that they have and agendas that they need to complete. And there's nothing but missed opportunities and mistakes and regrets. There really is. You know, I look in the book of Colossians, and I've gone to this passage very much throughout the years, but it really truly sets a precedent for us in that as we look in that chapter 3 of the book of Colossians there's the identification of the relationship between man and God as the initial highest precedent relationship that we are to be focused on. And when that is in order, then there is this relationship between man and himself that then will automatically take balance and correction and context, if you will. That when we're walking with God the way we should, then our own relationship with ourselves is as it should be as well. And folks, the whole system trickles down. Because when we're walking with God the way we should, we're communing with ourselves the way we should, we're communing with our spouses the way we should, and our children the way we should, and co-workers and friends and family members and all these different things. And it's amazing the sense of balance that is there. Where do you see that this is entirely, ultimately, in and of itself, a focus on us? It's a focus on God that then demonstrates itself toward others. It's a beautiful thing. And I think in our world, in our country today, in America, we as Americans, even as Christians, have become so concerned with the almighty dollar and the material things and all these different responsibilities and put such high weight and value on all these things that we are missing what is really most important. And it's the investment in others' lives. It's the investment in the lives of our children and grandchildren that are going to have lasting impact. And when those things are set as a precedent in our lives, guess what? All those other things will take place very naturally in their correct setting and context. And then you have peace and balance. And then you can look, instead of with regrets and disappointments for what you didn't do, you can look back and say, thank you, God, for guiding me in this such a way that I was able to do what you called me to do. What a beauty. Many people in our society today, and maybe many Christians today, might see and find the role of raising children as a tremendous burden, looking only at the cost of time and energy that is required in nurturing these ones as they grow. And sadly, most have rather give this responsibility that is handed over to them into the system of society to train them, hoping that they will one day turn out to be upstanding citizens, leading and guiding into the next era. I can tell you that this way of thinking has resulted in very vivid results in our society today. You look at what's going on in our world, look at the catastrophes, look at the heinous crimes of oppression and just terroristic attacks that seem to permeate that, folks, this is not a country against another country. It's evil against that which is good here that we see going on in our world and in our country today. We see individuals who are going into different schools and all these different things and just murdering and killing people without any sense of reason in their minds. There's no rhyme to it all. Why is this all happening? It's because we stopped investing in the right things. We started investing in more the things that would satisfy our selfish propensities and tendencies than it would be investing in the things that God has called us to. I can tell you this, that any country, any society, any culture will find its complete destruction when the framework and concept of the home is deteriorated in every way. Paul's demonstration of love to Timothy was real and deep. He did not conclude him as an element to his ministry, but always as a son, an essential part of his life. If you look there in verse 2, that's what we're focusing on, is that key phrase here. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. Look at the sense of sincerity in all of this. He says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Isn't that marveling to stop and look at the terminology and phrase there with it all? Look at the reality of this. Paul was not Timothy's biological father. Many of us, we know that from history and everything. But what we see here is a sense of investment that Paul made in the life of Timothy. And as that relationship grew, and as Timothy grew, that sense of investment flourished. And it became a bond and relationship that was so real and genuine and so close that Timothy was considered his son. You know, many would stop right here and see a task like this as too much work. To take this young man and to set my own time aside to be able to work with him and nurture him and help mold him and shape him into what he needs to be. Many would say, I don't have the time for that. Paul himself, I would venture to say, had more reason not to invest in someone like Timothy in his day and age than we do today. With all the various amenities and luxuries and conveniences that you and I have today, Paul could have said, you know what, I don't have time to out of my schedule to invest in this little insignificant young man. I've got a week's journey all the way to Ephesus here. I've got to get going. I don't have time for this. Or with all the different things that Paul faced, being shipwrecked, being starved, facing starvation there, being beaten in every way, running from his attackers and running from his enemies, Paul could have said, I don't have time for this. I've got to try and survive for myself in it all. But he was willing to invest the time. He was willing to make the impact. And he knew the call involved in it all. And that the ministry itself, although it was a byproduct in it, didn't rest exclusively in Paul's hands. But he needed young men, needed individuals who were willing to come alongside and even carry it on afterwards. Paul calls him my dearly beloved Son. As I finish out this morning here, the profound principle that we see in the expression of Paul's love and benevolence for Timothy is nothing short of the supreme love of our God. The love that was given to Paul by his heavenly Father was the same love that he showed, and it empowered him to encourage others to then walk humbly in his footsteps. Look at that right there. The love that was given to Paul from his heavenly Father was the same love that he showed to others, which empowered him to encourage others. Do you get that right there? That's pretty neat to stop and think about. Folks, we have the love of God as recipients. We've received that. We have that given to us. And it is a tool which we can utilize through the power of the Spirit of God within us to encourage and impact other people's lives. How are you doing with that? Are you doing it? Are you deliberate in it? Or is it just coincidental when it happens? I think sometimes we as Christians are, you know, maybe apathetically we want to serve God and we throw up a prayer and say, God, let me be a witness today. And then we just go on with our day and our typical routines and waiting for something to happen, and we're not necessarily looking for it. We're just saying, God, bring it to me. If you want it to happen, bring it to me and I'll do it. Are we deliberate in our actions? Are we sincerely wanting to invest in the lives of these ones that are coming up through? Folks, I think of no greater time than right now as we look at our world and we look at the direction that's going, and we look at the increase and progressiveness of sin and darkness that is ever being conveyed and promoted in our world. It is a tremendous opportunity for you and I as Christians to step up and invest in the life of one. All the stories that history has told of individuals who are willing to just simply invest in one and the impact that it has made as a result. It's worth it. And I would encourage you and challenge you today to make a precedent in your minds, to set a precedent in your lives, to be willing to say, I'm going to invest in one life at the very least, to the extent that I can raise this one, encourage this one, mold and shape this one, to carry the work that God has called all of us to do. It doesn't just coincidentally happen. And sometimes we look at all of this and all we can see is the work and the baggage and the overwhelming amount of energy and cost that it will take from us. Instead of looking at it as a great privilege and opportunity, folks. It is. This is nothing short but the supreme love of our God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. You see the humility and the sincerity here of Paul that is declaring to others in the church that as he followed in the same pattern of the very love of God, they could follow him alongside. What a bold testimony to say. Paul didn't say it arrogantly. He said it honestly. I'm following my Lord and my God. Look at how I do things. Follow in that pattern, because that pattern you see is not something that originated in my person and being, but was derived from the very person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that you so vividly claim to adhere to. Follow me even as I follow Christ. You know, it's interesting when we look at this whole concept of inclusion here. You know, I've been more deliberate myself in some of these things. And lately I have been giving Simon, my son, the opportunity to mow the grass in the yard out here around the church. Just different sections of the grass that seem to be really easy. And, you know, I've sort of watched him as he's doing it. And I'm going to wiping the sweat from my brow oftentimes because, you know, things aren't going in the same direction always. Boy, he's whipping around on that mower and, I'm seeing little patches of grass here and little patches of grass here and it's not getting done. And it's like, oh boy, everything's just out of control and there's nothing but chaos. But I'm giving him that opportunity. And folks, in the sense of investment and impact and influence there, as we nurture our children, as we invest in the lives that God has placed around us, we have to be willing to put some things in their hands. We have to be willing to allow them to make the mistakes or not do things 100% exactly as we would. That's how they learn quite oftentimes, isn't it? And you know, it's funny, you stop and think about this. My intention was all of this was not so that he could just merely mow the grass, but I wanted to include him. I wanted to include him in the things that Dad does. In the midst of all this, it was the reasoning behind it was simply because out of love. Out of love. And what's amazing to me is as I look at our Heavenly Father, you know what? It is no different in some regard. We know, based on the character of our God, that the task and purpose and plan that He has called us to, it will be done, right? And I get a witness on that? It's going to be finished. And guess what? It's not in our hands. It's in His hands in it all. The work will be done. You know what? Regardless of how horrible of a job that maybe done or missed different spots or whatever, I was going to go back and finish the job. It was going to get done. Just like God's plan and purpose for His creation, it will be done. But isn't it wonderful to know that our Heavenly Father, out of love, is willing to include us in His purpose and plan? That puts a whole new spin on it, doesn't it, folks? We tend to look at this purpose and plan that God has called us to as an overwhelming obligation. And folks, it's not. It's a great privilege. The God of heaven loves us so much that He's willing to include us in the things that pertain to Him. He's willing to involve us in the things and purposes and plans that He has. And folks, we ought not to go into this with such drudgery and discontentment and bitterness or anything like that, but we ought to look at this and say, this is what I find fulfillment and joy in. When I am helping out my Heavenly Father. I don't know about you, but if you've been there where you've gotten the opportunity to be a witness, to be an impact in somebody's life, how do you feel afterwards? Do you feel really bad? Do you feel like, oh, that was horrible and that was a waste and I never want to do that? You feel fulfilled. You feel a sense of joy and excitement. You feel a sense of peace because you got to do the Father's work. You got to be involved. How wonderful it is that our Heavenly Father involves us. How wonderful it is that His love towards us is not just in the initial expression of His sacrifice, but it is a perpetual, constant expression of continually including His creation in the affairs and concerns and purposes and plan that He has. That's awesome. How wonderful it is that we get to feel, in some ways, a sense of value and worth and importance in doing the Father's work. God knows all that. And just like we fathers today, when we include our children in the things that we do and the things that we love, and we get to sit back and watch their involvement and see that sense of fulfillment, see that smile on their face, and the joy that it even brings us as parents. That's what it's all about. G.K. Chesterton made this statement, "The really great man is the man who makes every man feel great." The really great man is the man who makes every man feel great. Isn't it wonderful to know that our Heavenly Father involves us because He loves us, but He wants us to feel fulfilled, joyful, and happy? You know what? There's not a thing in this world that can satisfy like that. I've gone out there and I've tried the different things. Every one of us have testimonies of various things that we've involved in our lives that have brought us no sense of satisfaction and fulfillment like the very things of our God. There is a deep relationship there that is inclusive in it all. And what I see, even in the sense that as we are the family of God, when we trust Him as our Lord and our Savior, we're not added to the family, we are part of the family. Do you see that? And as we look at this next generation as parents, as fathers, with our children, one of the things I've shared with my kids is that they're not just an additional part of our lives. They're an essential part of our lives. They're an essential part of our lives. God the Father looks at us no differently. God the Father in His great love would not be love if He looked at us in that way. Behold, what manner the Father has for us that we should be called His sons. That we should be identified, if you will, as the family of God. Involved, included in Him and everything that He does. My encouragement to you as dads today, you know, you can make this mistake of bringing your kids along and maybe making them feel like a fifth wheel. We've all been there. I hate that feeling. You certainly shouldn't make others feel that way. What we should be mindful of is that we're making memories, enjoying, investing in the moments. That our children feel that they are part of our lives and not an addition to our lives. This world so desperately needs to see that. There are children in this world that are longing to see that and that won't. And sadly, many of them, the only hope they have is maybe coming through these church doors and seeing a sense of inclusiveness, seeing that sense of involvement, seeing a real sense of love that they have been longing for and missing for so long. I think this world is getting more and more selfish as the days go by. And with it, it's not getting better, it's getting worse. But folks, it is a tremendous opportunity for us as believers and as Christians to set ourselves aside, surrender our own selfishness to our Lord, and see the investment that we can make in the lives of others for His kingdom and glory. Most especially in our children. And further down the road it goes to those that God has put around us. I can tell you without a doubt, you look at something like this, you carry this principle, whether it's at home, it should be at home, or whether it's in the workplace even. Bosses, managers, you know that as you look at the people that work under you and you demonstrate a sense of real, essential appreciation for who they are, and they feel that sense of that they're valued, you get better results, don't you? You make an impact. How much of an impact can we make as Christians today if we upheld this very principle in our lives? This is the esteemed character of our God. The purpose and plan will be accomplished. It will be done because God is in control and He has set it to be. But He graciously includes us as His children in the very things that He has in store. What a privilege. What a privilege today. If you're here today, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, all of this stuff might not make a whole lot of sense to you. And I can tell you that God, in His initial expression of love, was willing to do and pay the ultimate price for you and I. Mankind sinned. It started in the very beginning of creation in the garden, and it affected all of humanity. Not one of us Not one single person throughout history except the Lord Jesus Christ Himself can lay claim that they are completely, entirely innocent and guiltless before the eyes of God. And it was that sin that robbed us of that relationship that we had with our Father. But our Father was willing in His love to redeem us back, to pay the full price, so that we could be a part of the family. We could have hope beyond the sufferings of our sin. We could have a life of all that it was meant to be in the design and hands of the one and author who gives it. God includes us. How thankful we should be that He does. And how mindful we should be that these inclusions that we have from God are not overwhelming responsibilities of obligation. They are tremendous opportunities and privileges that we have to enjoy. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for what You've given us. I thank You so much for being the Heavenly Father, Lord. You are not only willing to pay the ultimate price for our sin, but Lord, You are willing to continue in Your constant love toward us and expressing Your love in a way that includes us as part of Your family, Lord. Part of the things that You have purposed and planned for this world. Lord, You haven't just set us aside and said, I'll take care of everything. Just stand over there and be ignored. But You've graciously brought us along, nurtured us, molded us and shaped us. And Lord, You are doing so even now. Father, I pray for earthly fathers today. Lord, that we would be careful and mindful of the role that we have been given, Lord. That is a very powerful and very influential role. And in many ways in our world and in our society, there is a tremendous lacking in the willingness to stand up and assume this role well. Lord, help us as dads. Help us as Christian dads to not only emulate the love and care that You offer to us, but Lord, may we be empowered by that love and care to demonstrate it and encourage others around us. May we include our kids as not just an additional part of our lives, or those that we've come around. Whether we're a parent, grandparent, father or mother, or even spiritual father, Lord, we pray, we all play a role in this life of impacting others for their benefit and for Your glory. May we be found faithful in all of that. Lord, we thank You for this time. Use it for Your glory, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together with me this morning as Brother Brian plays through a verse of invitation here. If you're here today and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I encourage you, you come forward this morning or see me after the service. We'll go through that prayer of salvation together that you can know that you have eternal life and that this life is in His Son. There is no other way to heaven. No